Always a pleasure when we get to say hello to Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing quite well, and we can't wait to get your thoughts on how Tennessee did as it made the rounds last Tuesday at SEC Media Days. But what do you think, as arguably the top prospect in the country is going to be playing football at Powell High School apparently this fall?
Yeah, Walter Nolan, just a stereotypical, you know, exactly what you're looking for at defensive tackle, 6'5", already, you know, 320 pounds, and that's not bad weight either. I mean, the kid looks like $1 million. I mean, it's like if you could take a piece of granite and a chisel and make yourself the perfect defensive tackle prospect, it would look a lot like Walter Nolan transferring in from the Memphis area. And, yeah, Powell was already going to be a good football team. They just got a lot tougher. And from a recruiting standpoint, I mean, I don't think that you can just assume that means he's going to Tennessee, but it sure makes Tennessee's job a lot easier in recruiting. But still, I mean, you're fighting the top programs in the nation for this young man. So I would caution anybody that thinks it's an absolute laydown.
The odds have been long, but as Brent has touched on, and as you, I think, have mentioned previously, the Volunteers have done a nice job of just putting themselves in a position. Like you said, could still be on the outside looking in, but they've given themselves a chance, haven't they?
Oh, without question. And you look no further than Rodney Garner. You know, I think he had kind of just written Tennessee off after the staff change. I mean, there had been a lot of interest before. I mean, it was still going to be a battle, but Tennessee was in the mix with the previous staff. And, you know, Rodney Garner, whose reputation is well-earned for one of the top recruiters in the country, and he's made that reputation in the cutthroat trenches of the SEC. You know, Nolan released the top eight back in April, I think, sometime back in the spring. And Tennessee wasn't in the top eight. And then he cut the list down last month to a top five, and suddenly Tennessee's in it. And he's been on campus a couple of times this summer for unofficial visits, which was huge for Tennessee, I think, to get, you know, face-to-face with him, with Coach Heupel and Coach Garner both. And, you know, now when he's playing football 15 minutes from Neyland Stadium, he could, you know, make an unofficial visit every home game now, theoretically, this fall.
He was at St. Benedict in Memphis, and Marlon Walls resigned from that job. Do you think that Nolan would have stayed there if Walls were the head coach?
Jimmy, I don't know this for sure, but I kind of think so. I think they were tied. I think that's why he went there in the first place, mm-hmm. from IMG Academy, where he was as a sophomore. And so I would hazard to guess that had Marlon not moved, Marlon got married and moved out of the area, was a reason for that departure. And I think that probably was a fortunate set of circumstances for Tennessee. Because, again, I'm not – just because he's moving to Powell and playing football, I don't think that – I wouldn't say that's a guarantee. I mean, Tennessee's still fighting, you know, Alabama, Clemson, LSU, Florida. And, you know, a lot of buzz about Florida. He's been there several times. A lot of people have thought that would be the team to beat, you know, Georgia. I mean, just anywhere the kid wants to go. But everybody in the SEC, for certain, is still, you know, pushing hard for this guy. And Tennessee will have its work cut out for them.
Why would he pick the Knoxville area to play high school football? Why not some other school in Memphis, maybe Nashville? Why do you think it's this area?
I don't know, Jimmy. I mean, it certainly, you know, you can read into it that it's good for Tennessee. But outside of that, I mean, just some relationships with some people that he had, you know, he could have gone anywhere.
Yeah. And that goes not just for high school, but college. So
yeah.
Class of 2023, there's a defensive lineman, Tamarian Parker. He's out of Phoenix City, Alabama. He's got Tennessee in his top seven. What do you know about Parker?
I mean, he's a young kid, Jimmy, but a really good-looking prospect. You know, kind of not on the Walter Nolan level, but a guy that's going to have a lot of opportunities in the SEC. I mean, a lot. He's from Phoenix City, Alabama. He's a defensive end, not a defensive tackle right now, but just a kid that a lot of people in the SEC are already high on. He's already 6'4", 260 pounds, plays against really good high school competition, and you know, that's gonna be another one that's gonna be tough to land. Anytime you recruit, you know, try to recruit big time talent out of Alabama, you're gonna have your work cut out for you. And in addition to the in-state schools, Florida is all over him right now. He has been on campus there a couple of times. So, like, as I said, like anytime you're recruiting that level of athlete from out of state in the South, it's going to be a tough pull. So, you know, I give Rodney Garner credit for getting Tennessee in there early, and to get out of state talent like that, I think Josh Heupel is going to have to show prospects something that, on the field this fall.
Rob, you've been feverishly working on getting out opponent previews for this upcoming season for Tennessee football. What has stood out in terms of maybe a note or two that you learned about one of Tennessee's upcoming opponents that you weren't aware of before you started what you do on an annual basis?
Yeah, good question, John. I tell you, the one without question that kind of, and this is, you know, they're an out of conference opponent, so I wouldn't, you know as much about their personnel as I would an SEC team that we see every year. But Pittsburgh, I think, has a chance to be a lot better than I thought they were. And I didn't even look and see where the preseason ACC polls put them, but they bring back a 5th-year quarterback. They bring back a wide receiver that had was one of the most productive freshmen in the country, almost 1,000 yards receiving, over 60 catches last year as a freshman. They bring back experience at running back. They lost two really good defensive ends. I mean, they had some really big-time defensive numbers last year. They were second in the nation in sacks, second in tackles for loss. But a lot of that production was from a couple of defensive ends that are no longer there. But they bring back all three starting linebackers. They bring back some experience in the defensive line. And I'm not saying Tennessee can't beat them, but they're going to be really salty on defense. And they know who their quarterback is going to be, which I think early in the season is a big deal. And, you know, in the SEC-wise, I wouldn't say there were a lot of surprises. I would say, you know, Kentucky, I'm a little surprised that they were, you know, picked so high in the East last week. I don't know about you, Jimmy, but so much of that hinges. They have a transfer quarterback from Penn State that has really not played much football at all. And I think so much of how their season is going to go depends on him. They have a new offensive coordinator who was an assistant coach with the Arizona Cardinals. So they're going to be, you know, trying to do some of the air raid stuff from Cliff Kingsbury and Mike Leach. But so much, I think, of how their season is going to play out hinges on whether the transfer from Penn State can really get it done, because they don't have a lot of skill on offense. They bring back a very good running back, but they lost a lot from what was a really good defense last year. The middle linebacker, name escapes me, a big-time player, killed Tennessee. They lost three starting defensive backs from what was a really good secondary. So I could end up looking silly, but I think Kentucky might be a little overrated. I'm not. Tennessee is going to have all kinds of issues stopping anybody, but Kentucky's really going to have to get some strong quarterback play from a kid who hasn't proven he can play at this level, and certainly not the SEC. And same thing with Missouri. I think I was a little surprised to see Missouri picked ahead of Tennessee, but that just, you know, shows you the perception of where Tennessee football is after a 3-7 year last year. I mean, Missouri, they know who their quarterback is going to be with the kid coming back that was a freshman last year, Connor Bazelak. Thank you, Jimmy. But you know, he was hardly lights out as a freshman, and they really are, to me, they're at least in terms of what the guys on the team did last year at the skill positions, they're as bad as anybody in the league, to me, as far as guys that scare you, that are explosive playmakers. They lost Larry Roundtree, who was a huge part of their offense a year ago at running back. And to me, that looks like an offense, unless Eli Drinkwitz can really work some magic, that is going to struggle.
Yeah, that linebacker was Jamin Davis at Kentucky. That was really a good player. Do you think Gatewood, the transfer from Auburn, has a chance to win the Kentucky job, or Bo Allen?
Just in reading around, Jimmy, everything, and you know, certainly, you know, I don't follow Kentucky football like a Kentucky fan or a beat writer that covers them. The consensus from all the preseason stuff seems to think that the Penn State transfer is going to walk in and win the job. Gatewood's stats are bad as a passer. Now, if they're going to run what they want to run with a new offensive coordinator hire, new quarterbacks coach, then it's going to have to be the kid from Penn State, because Gatewood, as a passer, could not do that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that's very accurate. What did you think of all the different teams that got a vote either to win the division in the SEC or to win the SEC championship. For example, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Florida, Kentucky, South Carolina all got a vote to win the SEC.
Yeah, whoever voted for South Carolina, that guy needs to have his credential taken away or his ballot. That's ridiculous. That makes a mockery of the thing. And really the same thing for Kentucky. I mean, it's not quite as bad, but Kentucky got two votes. That's just silly. I mean, Kentucky is not going to stay on the field with Georgia. And, I mean, Florida's going to be down from what they were last year, losing Trask and Pitts and everything they lost on offense. But that to me is just ridiculous. Those two in particular. Now, Ole Miss is not going to win the West, but, I mean, they probably are going to have the best offense in the SEC, so I guess that one's a little defensible. And Arkansas, same as South Carolina. That's just utterly ridiculous. I mean, really, the SEC should look into – I mean, you know who's casting those ballots. You should take those away.
You do. Well, maybe they took mine away because I never got a ballot. I went and asked them how come they didn't send me one, and I never got one. So maybe they didn't like some vote I had. I don't know. I thought this was kind of interesting with the All-SEC team that was out there. All three first-team linebackers are from Alabama, including Henry To'oTo'o, and a fourth linebacker made third team. Now, that's pretty darn good depth if you really believe that all those guys are that good. What did you think of that?
I thought that people didn't watch any film or watch Henry To'oTo'o play last fall. If that's the case, I mean that's indefensible. Now Christian Harris and Will Anderson, yes, please. I have no problem with that. I mean, Anderson was maybe one of the best freshmen in the country last year.
Yeah,
starting as a true freshman, and the To'oTo'o pick is to me just indefensible.
It's not 100% sure he's going to start.
I wouldn't think so. But Harris, Harris and Anderson are legit. I would have certainly put Ventrell Miller from Florida, or Popo, or definitely N'Kobe Dean from Georgia, over Popo from Auburn ahead of To'oTo'o.
So Cade Mays is first team on offense. Second team punter is Paxton Brooks. Third team secondary, Alante Taylor. Do you agree with those, and do you see any potential omission from Tennessee's players?
Probably not, Jimmy. I mean, I think there's some talent on offense, but it's young, and Tennessee was so bad on offense last year that I don't think – I mean, I could have – if Tennessee would have been better and he'd had more chances, I think Jalen Hyatt is an all-SEC caliber talent. He just didn't have the numbers last year. And defensively, I was a little surprised at Alante – was third team, and that's not a knock on him. I mean, I think he's a great kid, but I don't know that he had the best year last year.
I would have I could have seen Valus Jones Jr. perhaps getting all-purpose recognition, maybe a third team.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that position. I was just thinking about him as a wide receiver.
Was interesting. Right, you had the same guy named return specialist and all-purpose on the same team, I think first team. And then you had one that was second team on one, third team on the other. It was interesting. They didn't do the best job of sharing the wealth. But our guest, Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com, he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Sports Talk today is in Powell. We're here at the Dollar General Market on Clinton Highway, right where it meets up with West Emory Road. Rob, hard to believe that less than 2 weeks we'll have fall camp going on for Tennessee football?
Actually, no, John, it's not that hard to believe. It seems like it's been forever since the Origin of Light game all the restrictions and whatnot. It seems like it has, been a long, long time since I've been at a Tennessee football practice. And it actually has. It's been over a year, so.
A good long while. Anything out there on the forefront of Tennessee basketball and recruiting?
Nothing imminent, John. I mean, it's the live period right now, the evaluation period, which, first time it started, several weeks ago, but it's wrapping up here at the end of July. I don't think there's any, big news really getting ready to crash down the pike. I do think Tennessee is in very good shape with a prospect named Kasan Lawless out of the Dallas area. He was already a top 20 level national prospect before the season or before the evaluation period started, and he has really shown out at the Nike Peach Jam, which has been taking place down in North Augusta. He was in June, one of the several guys that made an official visit to Tennessee last month, and I think Tennessee is in a good spot with him. There's a chance he could maybe make a decision at the end of August. If he does, then I really like Tennessee's chances. If he waits and makes official visits in the fall, then I think, you know, then they're going to be in for a battle. But he's probably the only kid that I think is, you know, maybe could do something soon. I don't know for sure that he's going to do that. He just got a Kentucky offer. He was kind of good friends, knows Tyrone Maxey well, who played at Kentucky for two years ago, now with the Philadelphia 76ers. So there's kind of a tie there. But Tennessee has been, I think, the team to beat. I really thought it was going to be hard to pull him out of state, but he's one of those kids that is looking to leave home and spread his wings a little bit, which I think has allowed Tennessee to get in there. And, you know, when initially I didn't think they would – I didn't think that would be very easy to do when you get the defending national champs at Baylor. You've got Chris Beard and what he's done at Texas Tech, taking over the program at Texas. But as of now, it looks like he is wanting to leave home.
So what's the latest you've heard on Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, Epons in the draft, which is this week?
I mean, yeah, I talked to Keon last week. He, you know, after one of his workouts with the Golden State Warriors, he has been a lot of places, so I mean, there's a lot of interest. But you know, just looking around and seeing all the draft boards of guys who are tied into the NBA, it seems like he has fallen. Most people feel like he's falling from, you know, around the 8 to 12 range to maybe, you know, the 18 to 23 range, which really surprises me. And I know Keon's a little rough around the edges in terms of ball handling, shot making ability right now. But man, I mean, those are skills that you can teach kids once, you know, they're in an NBA program and doing nothing but working on their game. So, I mean, if Keon, to me, if he falls to 20 or so, I think that somebody's getting an absolute steal in him. I mean, he's a guy that people will point to his three-point shooting. I mean, Kawhi Leonard shot 26% from three-point range in college. I remember Tennessee played San Diego State when he was a freshman, and I would have bet anybody $1 million that kid would never be a factor in the NBA. And I mean, they're just—I mean, Keon has things that you just can't teach. So I'll be really surprised if he, not surprised, given all the data that's out there now. But I think so, there'll be some teams regretting decisions they make if they let him fall that far. And same thing with Jaden. I mean, I always thought Jaden would go, you know, from 20 to 25 somewhere, and it seems like his stock has maybe dipped a little with some people. Most things I'm seeing still have him in the first round, but after 25 in most cases.
Let's work in a quick call from Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve. Steve, you with us? Steve going once. Yeah, we can hear something going on in the background.
Rob, one other thing, and you've got a really keen eye for basketball. What do you see from the U.S. Olympic team? Do you think they win a gold? Do you? What do you think the issues are with their performance thus far?
I mean, Jimmy, I have not watched a ton of them. Obviously, I mean, I saw what happened this weekend. To me, I mean, they're still easily the most talented team. I mean, when you just look at it, but I think it's a lack of continuity. I think maybe some COVID fatigue with the NBA season, you know, stretching out like it did. And I just thought, to me, it's just continuity and team chemistry. I mean, I'm not sure that I love the way it's constructed, but even still, it's, I mean, the roster, I mean, I don't want to say you should be able to roll the ball out there and win. I mean, international basketball is so much better than it was, you know, 10 years ago. But to me, it's kind of the roster. Not, and, you know, you don't have some of your best players available, but I go back to team chemistry. To me, that's the biggest shortcoming. So and what it looks like from the outside looking in.
Yeah. Sorry about that. If Texas and Oklahoma arrive as they now are expected to in joining the SEC, would it be considered a troll job if the conference continues to insist on there being an SEC Big 12 challenge?
That's funny. That would, I mean, you would, I would hazard a guess that would go away. And, you know, not just because you're losing some teams, but, I mean, I think the Big 12, I mean, it will crater if that happens. I mean, I think Kansas probably is looking to get out. And, just from a, and just also the fact if you're going to 16 teams, I don't think you're going to be playing an out-of-conference game in January. You're going to be playing another conference game.
Yeah, fair point. Very fair point. I know there's a lot going on at VolQuest.com these days, but what will folks find if they pay a visit?
The biggest thing right now that's going on this week is previewing all the different positions on the football team, John. Taking a detailed look at everything going on. Brent, Austin, myself, Ben McKee, and Eric Kane have all pitched in and done those. We've got the quarterbacks and the running backs up so far. We'll go wide receivers tomorrow, and a good way to get people prepped for fall camp.
Rob, always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great week, and we'll catch up next Monday.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.